You may start, yes.
Oh, okay, thank you. Okay, then the first thing was to go over the agenda, if I still have that first, review of the agenda. We'll then follow with the roll call. Then I'm going to ask Dave to do a just status update on the review group. Then I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about the conflict of interest and conflict of role issues, just to put them on the table. Then there's an extension of applicant support charter item to include review of problems and proposals for remediation. I wrote a first draft of that, and a preliminary first draft, let's put it that way, and that's on the wiki. Then there's an update on GTLD issues, any of the token holders having an update. Unfortunately, Hung is not on the call, so this will be the second week, and I know she wanted to talk about hers. And then schedule of the meeting, I'm making a recommendation that at least during this period between now and Toronto, we meet once a month as the review group and perhaps rollout issue teams will be doing individual work. So hopefully this group can get more to a status update and a talk about issues, but on a monthly basis. So I want to ask the group what they think of that. Then review of the pending actions not covered, and then any other business. At this point, does anybody have any other business that we should add to the end of the agenda? No? Okay. Are there any comments or changes people would like to see in the agenda? No? Okay. Then I guess it can stand as is. I don't see any hands up. So, okay. I'm not sure. Is it Gisela or who? But could somebody please do the roll call?
Gisela.
Yes, it's a pleasure, Aubrey. It's Gisela. Welcome to the new GTLD call on Monday, the 16th of July. On today's call, we have Aubrey Doria, Dev Anand Tillitsing, Alan Greenberg, Tijani Benjima, Evan Leibovich, apologies noted from Yaovia Tuhun, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Hong Sui, Sintra Suknanan, Rafik Damak. Today from staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanko, Matt Ashtiani, I'm not sure if he's on the call, and myself, Gisela Gruber. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes.
Okay, thank you, Gisela. This is Aubrey Doria speaking again. So at this point, I'd actually like to turn it over to Dave, and I apologize that I just stuck you in the agenda without asking first, but as you are the at least interim chair of the group, I was hoping that you'd be okay with that. So please, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. This is Dave Anand, Tillitsing, and thanks, Aubrey. The GTLD review group, we had a joint meeting in Prague, and there was the key takeaways was regarding reinforcing that what the review group needs to be doing is to encourage people in at large to make comments and so forth. And there was also a broad discussion of the disclosure of a potential conflict of interest by two review group members being on the board of an applicant. Subsequent to after Prague, one of those review group members, Rudy Vaznik, has voluntarily stepped down from the review group, and since he was nominated by Uralo is now currently seeking a replacement for him. With regards I've updated the dashboards and stuff like that with a lot more text. Let me just paste the link into the chat there. And what I've done, I've tried to explain it a little bit more, and I think it's the dashboard itself is fully ready. What's lacking is of course, the comments. Now, with regards to the comments and the timing, I suggested a new updated timeline for our quota review group's actions, because what has happened, obviously, was that the PROG meeting took up a large chunk of time, before the PROG meeting, during the PROG meeting, and I guess, after the PROG meeting, a lot of time was lost that would normally have been devoted to us reviewing any possible comments from at-large to submit to the during the application comment period. So the updated timeline right now is we have until July 26th to get comments from at-large on the wiki, and then July 26th, 27th is when the review group will then review those comments on the wiki and decide to draft formal comments. And from July 6th to August 2nd, any formal comments are drafted and posted on the wiki and so forth. And then by August 3rd, any final comments will be then posted for ELAC to then review and approve by August 10th. Because August 12th is the end of the application comment period. I think those are the key takeaways from the review group. I'll stop and ask for questions.
This is Aubrey. While looking for hands, I have a couple initial questions. One is, you went in as the interim chair. Has the group made any decisions on keeping you as chair or discussing that? Another question is, you mentioned that there were two people with conflicts and one had taken action. And then the other thing I just want to point out is make sure that on these dates that you just give, that you remind us and at large and whomever about them frequently. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Avery. This is Dave. Okay. Regarding the interim chair issue, there's going to be a review group call tomorrow. So I suspect that will be discussed at that point in time. There hasn't been any discussions on the list as such regarding that. Again, with regards to the, potential conflict of interest, Rudy Vasnik has stepped down. Dave Kissendoyle is on an advisory board rather than one of the applicants. And so far, what we have stated as out of the outcomes of the PROG meeting was that, the wiki will be updated with this conflict of interest mentioned. Any discussions, decisions related to the conflicted applicant or applications, they must recuse themselves. And obviously, if that review group member with a declared conflict believes it is preferable for them to withdraw, then the RELO or the ELAC, depending on who selected them, will be notified to seek the replacement. And regards to the third question, now I've lost track of it.
Sure that you keep reminding people frequently about the deadlines for comments.
Thanks. Okay, yes, I'll work on drafting a message to send out to all the RELO lists today. I think one of the difficulties is that apart from the task of actually reviewing for the RELOs to actually review 1,900 applications, and the big problem is that there's no easy way to get all of the comments that have already been submitted in the application comments forum. If anybody has gone to that forum, it's sort of like a database-driven system, similar to how the applications themselves are published. So there's no easy way, for example, to hyperlink to just go to one page with all the comments that have been submitted about this application in an easy-to-read format. So I think this is the real difficulty here, and so we may not get enough comments for submission during the application comment period, but at least with the objection period, there's an opportunity, for that to happen.
Okay,
that's it.
Thank you. I see a question from Alan. So I'll give the floor to him. If it's a question on how to handle the COIs or others, I'd prefer to hold it until the next item. But please, Alan.
Thank you. There's an item later on our agenda about investigating failure of the applicant support period or the applicant support program. And I'm sensing we're going to have a similar item later on, a failure of our of the comment period. And
okay.
I don't quite know how to address it. My original feeling was we had to put an elaborate process in place, but we wouldn't get a lot of comments and objections anyway. And maybe that's true, or maybe the process we set up just is too unwieldy. We've heard lots of comments. Evan's notice that he may have another agenda item is one of those. There have been plenty of comments, not necessarily on specific applications, but certainly on generic types of applications, but they're not finding our way into the comment process. And I'm not quite sure what we need to do to make it better. Part of it clearly is just summertime and just immediately following an ICANN meeting where people
yeah.
tend to disappear. But I think we have something. Just telling Dev that we need to send out more notices to people that they don't read, I'm not sure is a sufficient response. Thank you,
Alan. I didn't mean to minimize the issue of people commenting, and perhaps that, you know, that is one of our longer issues. Perhaps some of those are, you know, things that can be covered under the rollout issues, because this is indeed, you know, rolling out of our part of the plan. So, you know, so perhaps those things can be explored in a context within the work of this group. So anything else on either Alan?
Yeah, Avery, could I have a follow-up, please?
Certainly. Why don't I let Tijani go, and then you can follow up, and maybe you'll be following up comments to both. Please,
okay.
Johnny.
Okay. Thank you, Avery. Dev, thank you very much for your report, and I think that something that is not in your duty now, I think that you need to send email to the list, to the at-large list, to remind them of the deadlines, and
yes.
especially to tell them that if you don't make comment after this date, you will not be able to do so after it.
Yes.
Because I think that people are not aware, and now it is the vacation. It is everyone is tired from the Prague meeting, so people are not taking it seriously. So perhaps a reminding email will be very good for the at large people. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
I can respond to this, but go ahead, Avi.
Okay, sorry. I don't see any hands up. I know Alan wanted to make a comment. Was that also Dave I just heard?
Yes, this is Dave. I can just respond to Alan and also to Tijani.
Okay, so Alan and then Dave. Please.
Okay, thank you. Tijani said part of what I was going to say, that really we're in crisis. I think this is the time we need to be in crisis mode and make sure people understand this is their one kick at the can. Yes, we'll have the objection process, but objections are pretty onerous, and I'm not really expecting a lot of objections. I expect a lot of people to object, but not something that meets the criteria of a formal objection process. So if venting spleens and complaining out loud is going to satisfy people, then our objection process may be an opportunity to do that. But it won't result, I don't think, in real objection, formal objections to the process. This is the kick at the can. The timing is about as bad as one could imagine. But I do think we need to wave a flag now, because otherwise we have no one to blame but ourselves afterwards. Thank you.
Okay. And Dave.
Okay, thank you, Avi. This is Dave Anand. Okay, Alan, I agree. And I think it's very, just as I say, the fatigue from the Prague meeting, you know, just the time before, during, and now after. And again, if Evan has comments and so forth, then, you know, initiate it, because just send a comment, and I have a comment regarding this application. The thing is also, although there's been some comments on the in the ICANN's comment period, I have to say a lot of them are probably going to be discarded simply because it's not explicitly going to the if the comment is not deemed relevant to the evaluation panel, it will not be, you know, refiled or retransmitted to the correct one. It will just simply be discarded. So that's the one thing. Regardless to the objection period, technically, the review group can still take objection comments and then submit it in the hopes for the independent objector to possibly take action. That is also that avenue that perhaps was not really fully considered in our review group process. But I agree, it does need, I'll do the reminder again today, you know, I think the dashboard itself is ready to go. If there's any text that needs to be explained, by all means, send me a message and I'll work on it today and update it. There's been no real comments from the review group as to the dashboard itself or anything like that. So after this meeting, I'm going to try to work to send the message out again today and get the message out. That's it.
I put myself in the queue to make a personal comment. I think two things. I think one, I don't know that it's quite a crisis period. This may be a critical period, but I think calling it a crisis period is, I don't know, in my opinion, is a little strong. The other thing I'd like to remind people of is that the comment period is not only for negative comments. Positive comments can come through. So if anyone in at large, obviously not someone who's conflicted, but if anyone in at large wants to see a positive comment made on any of the applications, they should know that comments allow for both negative and positive. And that was just the bit I wanted to throw in.
Okay.
Anyone else want to comment on the review group and the objection review process? Okay. Moving on to the next one, and I just really wanted to make a brief comment here and then open it up to any discussion. And that's on the conflict of interest and what I'm calling conflict of role issues. We know and we've seen the sort of the attention that the at-large objection process is getting, and we can assume that for many of the applicants, they will react strongly, especially to an objection, perhaps not to a comment, but to an objection that originates out of any of that. And that's what's made this pull on the conflict of interest so very important that, you know, we don't have a process by which ALAC is asked to rule on conflict of interest. They did their original screening, and on the original information, everything was fine. I'm sure they will be looking over the review group's shoulder on any further conflict of interest that come up. But I guess I really do want to ask people who are involved with the objection process in any way to be highly self-policing to make sure that what comes out of the objection process cannot be challenged on the basis of any apparent or what have you conflict of interest. On the conflict of role, one of the discussions that's been going on in the background has been related to the SARP and to the community member reference, the CMR, I'm not sure I translated the letters correctly, role. Because of the dearth of application support people, it's pretty much agreed by all those who have been talking, and this is basically the committee that was put together by Jazz and this group to work with staff, that, you know, probably one would be enough. At this point, then, the staff came back to that group and said, any of you want to do it? Any of you volunteered? Several of us who had been volunteered for the CMR group said, we'll do it if no one else will. And then a couple other people volunteered, And so those of us that had said, we'll do it if someone else did, said, okay, someone else wants to do it, you know, remove our names from the list. We've now gotten down to having two people that are interested in doing it, Rafiq and Sintra, and we have left it up to staff to figure out which one to pick. Staff kind of doesn't want to pick. And the reason I'm reporting this is because, and I said this in an email to that group, and therefore want to say it here, is that on one of the people, on Sintra, I have a concern that because she is responsible for the objection process, there may be a conflict of role in terms of both doing the CMR, even though the CMR is not supposed to be directly involved in the SARP selection process, that still this could raise an eyebrow, and in the trying to be squeakier than Caesar's wife, I warned. Sintra did mention that if this was felt to be a conflict of role and she was picked, that she would drop her leadership of the objection process, which she's been handling because of my conflict of interest. So I just wanted to put this on the table. It is not yet, the CMR hasn't been picked. You know, we still have two candidates that have said they want to do the role. Neither one has backed out as the rest of us did. So a decision will need to get made somehow, somewhere, by somebody. I just wanted to make sure that I had not done that without recording it as part of this group's record. And I open up the queue to anyone that wishes to comment on either COI or what I'm calling conflict of role. Yes, Evan.
Hi, Avery. Just to confirm, based on what you've just said, if Sintra gets the role, then she would step down from her SARP role. So even in her case, there won't be a conflict of role if she gets picked. Do I have that correct?
It's not from her SARP role. It's from her role as the as this group's sort of liaison to the review group.
Okay,
and
but
that, and
you said if she gets the CMR role, then she would step down from that,
she would not have
that conflict, right?
I believe, I'm not sure if she said she would step down or that she said she would step down if the group felt it was necessary. I'd have to go back and read the mail. But certainly, if the group felt it was a conflict of role, she would step down. She may do it anyway. But
okay,
yes.
So just confirming, that's not really an issue because Rafiq doesn't have an issue, and Sintra, if she does, will eliminate it herself.
Exactly, and that's. But I wanted to put it on the table and such and say, no, in that case, it becomes perhaps a non-issue. It is an issue for this group, of course, because then we'll need to, you know, establish a contact again, although Dave, as interim chair, and if he becomes chair, or whoever becomes chair, can probably fulfill that role. Yes, Andrew. You were part of this discussion, so maybe you're on mute, but obviously you can correct anything I said. So, Andrew. I don't hear you. Does anyone hear me?
Yes.
Yes,
okay. We hear you.
Okay, but we don't hear Andrew.
Yeah, yeah.
Gisela, this is Heidi. Do we know what's going on with Andrew's line?
Sorry, Andrew, this is Gisela. Andrew's on the Adobe Connect room. He's just typing in now.
I see he's going to type a comment. Okay. Yeah. No, Andrew, no one could hear you.
Andrew, are you trying to type to talk through Adobe or through the phone?
Okay, Andrew has typed that he agrees with Evan. I think this is a non-issue, and either candidate would be good. I tend to agree with him that they're both good candidates. I believe it is a non-issue, or became a non-issue when Cintra said she would not try to hold both roles. However, I still did think that the non-issue needed to be aired. But if there's no other comments, I'm fine to move on. Okay, Alan, I see your hand up. And
well,
come back to Andrew if we can get him to talk, but at the moment...
If there is no issue, then we have a problem that we have to pick. Now, whether we use the coin that Evan has offered or something else, we do need to make a decision and move on.
Well, I
or
guess
someone
that's
needs
the question.
To make it.
Yes.
Someone needs to make a decision to move on.
Right, and I guess some of us believe that this, as an implementation thing, this is really a staff decision. But I think the recommendation, perhaps, that comes out of this group is, if they can't decide by any other process, then flip a coin. Is that what this group would like us to say?
Okay. Well, all I'm saying is we need to get off the pot, so to speak, and make a decision, even if that decision says use a coin. If staff
okay.
is not if staff is reluctant to do it, then we need to provide some guidance, whether it's random or otherwise.
Actually, whether it applied to this group or to the Jazz is a question, since this is actually a Jazz function that I'm reporting on in this group.
I understand, and I'm not sure I really want. I have the stomach for reconvening Jazz at this point.
Exactly,
though.
but you know, we also know that there's still a GNSO Jazz issue pertaining to the whole CMR issue. So you know,
the last meeting where this was discussed, Kurt presented what the issue is, and the GNSO said thank you.
Okay, so there is no more issue. Fantastic.
You know, no one said, is there an issue? No one asked the question. They just said, thank you for the presentation. Now we understand. So the more we can let sleeping dogs lie, the better.
Right. Okay, Tijani, please.
Yes, thank you, Avery. I don't like the coin of Evan. I do prefer objective criteria to select our representatives. And it's not our representatives, it's the representative of the Jazz Working Group. But it is only to speak about only a reflection. I think that the right reason to select this one or this other would be really a real contribution in the substance of the work that has been done, especially in the Jazz Working Group and after the Jazz Working Group, even in the ASP group. So, bon, I don't have any choice. I don't want to choose between them, but I think that the best is to find objective criteria to select one of them. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I agree if... objective criteria can be found, I think, to try and decide whether Rafiq or Cintra contributed more to the Jazz process of doing this becomes a difficult question, and, you know, one has to look at it from perspective of both the at-large and the GNSO. So I think coming and saying this one did more is a difficult question. So... anyhow, Andrew, I see you're back and you're on the phone, so please.
Yeah, amazing, huh? This is the first time that I've actually gotten the audio through the Adobe, and I didn't realize that I couldn't be heard. Look, I think it's a bit of a fool's errand to try to figure out who has contributed more in the past. I don't think that that's even particularly relevant, because what we're looking for is to who could do a better job in this limited task in the future. What about just the possibility of asking the two of them to discuss it amongst themselves and come to an agreement? If they really can't do that, then it would strike me that that might actually solve the problem. I understand why people don't want to be in the position of choosing between one and the other. And while I agree with Johnny's idea of generally looking for objective criteria wherever possible, If they can't come to an agreement about who would take it on, I don't see that there's that much of a difference between flipping a coin. The benefit for us is moving on quickly, and whoever gets the number two spot should continue on, you know, as part of the group in any case.
Okay. Sounds like a great suggestion. Does anyone against my passing that on to the group? Okay, I see Evan agrees with passing it on, and I see Alan raised his hand to comment. Alan, please.
Yeah, I think Andrew's suggestion is a good first pass at this point. And I think we need to remind the people involved just what this task is. You know, the largest part of it, as I understand it, and I don't pretend I really understand it, but I'm going to try, is to provide guidance to the selection groups on what the jazz group meant by the words we used, and to provide interpretation. At this point, we only have three applicants. We have enough money. The only reason someone is not going to get funded is if they don't meet the criteria. And to the extent that that any of these applicants do not meet the criteria, you know, I think it's going to have to be a slam dunk and an obvious case of no, they're really a for-profit company or something like that, since availability of funds is not an issue. And to be blunt, if we don't fund anyone or don't fund someone, there's going to be a lot of questions raised. So it's really just a matter of interpretation. To the extent that interpretation is going to be necessary, I don't think there's any confidentiality issues that whoever is selected as the CMR can discuss issues, not in a public forum perhaps, but certainly in confidence with others. So I think we're looking at a figurehead here, and let them discuss it to start with and see if anyone just wants to step down with the understanding that, you know, should issues arise, and I'm not sure there will, I think there'll be an opportunity to get others involved in addressing particular questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So I'd like to, Andrew, your hand went up. I'd like to close this issue. So, Andrew, I'm going to give you the last word, and then I'll give a quick summary of how I'll follow up, and then we'll move on. Andrew, please.
Sure. Just a quick, to build off of what Alan just said, I think that the lack of applicants and the visibility of this process puts us in a slightly different position than we were originally thinking. We were originally thinking that we were going to have to be choosing between people, and now I think what Alan says is right, that we're going to be under some pressure to make things work. And so I think that change is a meaningful one. Our goal is going to be to make these things actually happen as opposed to choose who is going to be yes or no. So I don't know if that factors into who we choose or how we're going to approach it, but I think it's a meaningful difference.
Okay, thanks. I think, though, the general tone I got is that Rafiq and Sintra should be asked to talk to each other and to see if they can come to an agreement on which one will allow the other one to serve, or however they want to suggest doing it. Someone on the chat put, I think it was Dev, is there a problem if both are? I don't think so, and I think that is the sort of, you know, if we can't solve it any other way because of, oh, I'll keep my mouth shut, of because of whatever, then, yeah, put them both on. I'd see it as a sign of failure, but, yes, it's something we can do.
Avery, it's Alan. Maybe we should ask staff if that's acceptable, and if so, we've done their job and it's done.
What? I didn't understand.
Maybe we should ask staff if they would accept two, even though there's only going to be one group, and just leave it at that.
As
no.
opposed to asking them to talk to each other and try and decide?
I'm saying first ask staff if we name two instead of one, is that acceptable to them? Will they take them both?
Okay.
But it's a yes-no answer, hopefully, and it may address the issue.
I've got another hand up. Tijani, I have both Andrew.
Yes,
Andrew, you have another comment, or is this the same man?
Sorry.
I don't agree with Alan. We don't need to send two people for three applicants. It's ridiculous. I think that we need to. It's very easy to find a compromise between two persons. It's not they will not earn money. They will not have their castle in Spain. It's nothing. So I think that it is more reasonable to find a compromise between those two people. That's all.
Okay, thank you. So I'll put that through as a first suggestion, since we don't have consensus on suggesting the second, whereas I do think we have fairly rough consensus on asking the two of them to settle it at 20 paces and to decide. Okay, moving on. Okay, so the next one was the extension of applicant support charter item to include review. Two things: review of the problems and proposals for remediation. I did put a where did I put it? A copy link. Okay, I just put the link for that charter item in the agenda. I meant to put it in the chat, but my cursor was in the wrong place. So it's a preliminary draft. It basically, I don't know if anybody's had a chance to read it since I only finished it last night, but basically it starts out by saying, obviously I would add the dear distinguished members of the ALAC, blah, blah, blah. Charter item 2 in the at-large new GTLD working group is applicant support issues. With the JAS report complete, that group will be winding down, but it will be necessary for at-large to monitor its acceptance and implementation to the extent it is accepted or implemented. With the end of the application period and the beginning of the SARP review, the initial work of this work item is completed. In fact, except for the monitoring, have some errors in here. Except for the monitoring of how SARP process is actually applied, one could consider the work completed. It is relatively undisputed that the applicant support program was a failure. What is still under active discussion are the reasons for this failure, with several reasons given, such as, and I really do need to correct the language, lack of credible outreach for both new GTLDs and the applicant support program to the appropriate population. Costs remain too high. Program was established too late to be of much help. The developing world does not need or want GTLDs. They have more important needs. In most conversations on the issue of applicant support is closely linked to the issue of the low number of applications from the developing regions of the world. The GAC communique from Prague contains the following: to review and plan action for the next round to ensure there is no repetition of the low uptake in applications from developing countries. The at-large new GTLD working group has discussed the possibility of continuing its work on applicant support with two goals in mind: to study the reasons for the low uptake of applications from developing regions, to propose ways in which this may be remediated in future rounds. I apologize for my bad draft. Since this would be essentially new work item for the ANGWG, the working group is requesting guidance from the ALAC on this charter extension. Beyond the incredible amount of typos, yes, Tijani.
Yes. Thank you, Avri. I read your proposal this morning, and I wanted to comment on it, but unfortunately it seems that there is a problem of access to the wiki page. I couldn't add my comments on the wiki page. And I asked Gisella to see it with the IT people. What I wanted to say is that your proposal is very good. Perhaps we have to formulate it another way, but the content is exactly what we need. If we don't today, if this working group don't discuss and don't address the very few application for support and the very few applications from developing countries, I don't think that this working group will have done its job. So adding those two points is very important to our work, and yes, we have to update our charter indeed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? One thing I'd certainly like to say is that the editing should be opened up, and I would invite you and other members of this group to, you know, take a crack at fixing it and making it better. Yes, Alan.
Other than relieving angst, is this really the right time to do this? There's going to be plenty of time in terms of the second round, and we don't really know a lot at this point. And we certainly don't know of the applications we've gotten, how many of them are going to get through the ICANN application process and actually be delegated. There could be a significant fallout rate along the way for various reasons. I really wonder whether this is something that needs to be discussed by a larger community than just us, ultimately, of course, but whether this is the right time to be doing this. Thank you.
If I can add a personal view on this, I think it's absolutely the right time to start this. First of all, it's going to take time to study the reasons and to do that in a credible way. This is the time to be gathering those. I think if there's any hope of remediation, both in the developing regions and such, I think it's time to start talking about it. One of the thoughts that I've certainly been part of, but others have been also, is that, you know, we don't have to wait for the next ice age to pass before some type of remedial program can be proposed, recommended, looked at to deal with these failures if we can understand what the failures are. And so to say that we'll wait until the next program gets going, maybe just, you know, wasting several years while everything gets sorted. Because of the low turnout from developing economies and developing regions and developing countries, you know, the notion of perhaps a special round could be suggested. It's been sort of talked about by a few people in the background. Of course, at this point, there's no way to make such a concrete suggestion. But those are the things this kind of group could look at and could work with the GAC on to see whether, you know, something should be suggested. So I think this is the time. And I see Tijani and Alan. Tijani, please.
Yes, thank you, Avri. I absolutely agree with you, Avri. And I would like to add that if we had this failure, it's because we didn't have the right feeling of the time last time. Either for the support program or for the program itself, the UGTLD program itself, and the outreach of the UGTLD program. We were arguing, but we were not doing it enough strongly. That's why we failed. And I think that this time we have to really advocate for it very, very strongly, and we have to find solution. I agree with you. Perhaps we can imagine a special round. Why not? We can imagine other things, but it is a problem to be addressed now. If it is not addressed now, it will be too late, as it was too late for the last round. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Alan.
Yeah, just to be clear, I wasn't suggesting we wait 5 years and do it just before the next round, if there is a next round. I was suggesting that right now is perhaps premature, unless, I mean, what Avery said perhaps implies this is a long process. It's not something we're going to meet three times and come out with a report on. If it's a process which we need to think and ruminate on for the next year or so, then I have no problem starting it now. I just think that there's information that's going to come in. We know part of the reason. Part of the reason is those in control of the program chose not to do any real outreach in the world that we were focusing on. That's documented. So part of it's going to depend on, is the new ICANN any different than the old ICANN? Because just saying the words over again are not going to make a difference. And that's why I think this is not the right time to try to come to any conclusions. To start the process, sure, I have no problem with that. Even if we were to do a new round, it would come, they would be processed after the current round, and we're still delaying. That's not going to happen for at least 2 years at this point, I'm guessing. So I just don't want to set expectations that we're going to come up with a definitive response of what we did wrong and what we should do about it next time. I think the time is not ripe for that. To start the process, sure, I have no problem with that, but not with expectations that this is going to be the definitive work, because I think there's input that's going to be coming in over the next year that is important to consider. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, Alan, I've got Andrew, but I just wanted to respond one thing to Alan. This is definitely just the beginning of a process, and I do believe it's a time-consuming process. And that's one of the reasons why I and a few other people I've talked to don't want to wait.
I have no problem then. I have problem setting expectations that we're going to be able to understand and make recommendations in the short term.
Right. Okay. And perhaps the write-up needs to include some statement of that fact that this is the beginning of a process. If this were to be approved by ALAB, I would think that having something to say by the time they had finished processing the main body of the applications would be a good time.
Okay.
Yes, Andrew.
I'd like to go on record and put myself down as part of the camp that thinks we should get on this right away. When I was in Prague, I spoke with a number of people about the idea of creating some sort of an applicant support window specifically aimed at emerging markets, because this is clearly an area where we just dropped the ball. I mean, not we as a group, but we as a community. And I think that the way it seems to me, you're not saying things that are different, because it's going to be a process to get that socialized through the community and get some agreement around it. But then also, one of the big complaints that I have heard about from people in the emerging markets world is that this was foisted upon them, and there's a learning curve for some of this. There's time that needs to go into putting together an application, especially if you don't have a huge amount of money to be shipping off to consultants. And given that that's the case, I don't think that this is going to be too much of an issue. We started on this tomorrow, and it took, say, 6 months to come up with a plan or 6 months to get agreement on a plan. We still want some time to help potential applicants who are going to get GNS support to get them ready to go. And so I think it's absolutely the time is now if we want to be ready to go in 18 months or 2 years.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments on this? We are close to running out of time. What I'd like to ask here is that people review the statement on the wiki, especially once it is corrected. The access is corrected, and make comments, et cetera. In the thing of not rushing this, we can wait until the next meeting to finalize the notion and discuss this on the list. But at this point, Andrew, you still have your hand up. Is that a previous hand or for the comment?
Sorry, no.
Okay, thanks.
No,
just wanted to make sure. Okay, now we have 8 minutes left, and as I said, because I have to catch a train, unless you guys want to continue the meeting without me, we need to cut it in 8 minutes. So we've talked about this. We'll work on it over between now and the next meeting. There's two things. One was the update on GTL issues, updates from token holders. I dug that one out. There's the trademark clearinghouse issue that Hong is working on. There's the vertical integration and price caps on incumbents that Alan is working on. Alan, I don't know if you had anything new to report on that, not necessarily that you do, but I want to come back at every meeting and see if you've gotten a little group together and see if things are happening. And Alan, any comments?
No, I haven't done anything on that.
Okay, great. As I say, these things we have time on. I just want to get them on the list and want to have a token holder for it. And we'll come back to it at the next meeting. People can look at that list. Anybody that believes something belongs on that list please send a message to the list, you know, to the email list saying so, and of course I will ask you to take the token on it. Okay. Schedule of the meeting, and this is, as I mentioned and when I was doing the agenda, because the review groups are working, because this is summertime, because hopefully some of these rollout issue groups will start having their background discussions and getting themselves organized, I'm suggesting we meet monthly and have subgroups that are basically working on various issues, get status reports on them monthly, and discuss any issues. Is there any objection to doing that from now through Toronto? Obviously, if a crisis comes up, we can schedule more meetings, but for now, is that acceptable to the members that are here? Is anybody going to be terribly upset at not having another one of these meetings for a month? I see Alan agreeing. I don't assume you're agreeing to the being upset. You're agreeing to the monthly.
I am certainly not being upset.
Right. Okay. So I see a bunch of checks. I'll work with Heidi and Gisela and all to schedule this on a monthly basis, same time, same day, if that's okay with people. By and large, this seems to be our most successful compromise time. Okay. Probably should look at the pending issues quickly. Letter, pending issues. Action items. Nothing really new. History of ALX, GTLD rollout concerns, table created. Nothing new has been listed there, so I guess we're okay. So that gets us to any other business quickly. In the last 5 minutes, Evan, would you like to bring up your issue?
Thanks, Avery. I don't know if it's an issue, but just something that I have encountered in passing while having spoken to some domainers. Apparently, there is a movement, at least amongst the domainers, now that they've seen the applications out, that they have a problem with the fact that some of the applications, notably the ones from Amazon, appear to be targeting generic words and also have the claim inside their applications that all second level and beyond domains will be owned by Amazon. And so they have had very specific concerns about having what might be important generic strings being owned by a company that does not make its secondary domains available for sale by the public. Personally, I don't have a problem with that. But there's been mention that they approached people from at large in Prague and that we may be asked to actually have a position on this. My position is rabidly neutral in that I would neither want to champion nor oppose private generic domains on a number of grounds. I just wanted to raise that issue here, find out if anybody else had a comment. And if they like the idea of staying actively and rabidly neutral on the issue. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody have a comment?
Dinar. Allah yubarak.
Excuse me, Tijani?
Sorry, it was a mistake. No, it was a mistake. I didn't close my microphone.
Okay, sorry. I see Alan put his hand up.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and I think we need to talk about it in a global sense because, again, we're talking about, is there an issue of consumer confusion? Is there an issue of the presumption that if there's a top-level domain, it is authoritative? It'll be a perception of people. I'm not talking about reality. And I think there's a potential issue here. An issue which I can, basically sidestep in all its previous discussions about how would these things be perceived and is there do we need to ensure that we're not creating a quagmire for users? And, we've always said quagmires are good. The more the better. And I don't know if that's really
the decision that we should have taken, but I think it's something that needs to be discussed and needs to be discussed thoroughly, and I don't think we should just off the cuff say, you know, we're against it or we're going to be neutral on it. I'm not sure if we have the ability of really understanding the impact in the short term, but I think it's an important issue that we need to talk about.
Okay, so that means that we should add it to our rollout issues list.
I'm not sure if it's something we're going to be able to discuss in any rational way until we actually see the rollout and see what the implications are.
Okay, so I'll add it to the list, and then we can figure out what to do with it going on. I certainly don't see us resolving it today. Before I close, any objection to my adding it to the rollout list, and we can discuss it further as we go on. Evan, can I attach your name to it in the rollout list?
You're welcome to. I've already given my point of view on it, and have no problem arguing it. In terms of making sure that that large community is aware of the issue, even if we don't take any great stance on it, is fine with me too.
Okay, so maybe you'll be able to also gather some other people that have interest in discussing it, and so, but we can. Okay, so I will add it, and I will add your name. Rudy asked a question on the list that I want to get to before I close because I don't know if he got his answer. What is the deadline for this approval? And I don't know what Spurring referred to, and is a question that needs to be answered before we close the meeting. Rudy, I don't know if you want to clarify what you're asking, or should I just ignore this? It's just that there's a pending question, and I don't... And as for your question, Alan, about, the approval of the CMR function, I think the name for that one is as soon as possible, because the SARP wants to get started. As for your pending question, Alan, how about that church being owned by a church? I think we'll punt on that one for the moment, if that's okay with you.
No, I was just giving that as the, Dot Book and Amazon was not the only one there. There are plenty of them that people may raise eyebrows with on, so... It's not only the for-profits that are doing it.
Okay. Well, I thank you all. As I said, I'm cutting off abruptly because I really do have to run. So thank you all. I'll talk to you on the list. Please, even though we're only meeting monthly, please feel free to be active on the list, to look at the Charter Extension Wiki page, et cetera. I thank you all, and I'll talk to you.
Thank you, Avery. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you,
everyone. Good train trip.
Thanks.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Thank you, everyone. Meeting audio will now be disconnected.